Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Battle Lines on Warn Radio. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us tonight. It's Thursday, the second day of May, 2019. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through chapter 20, verse 27. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 2 through 20. Also, chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. The New Testament portion is Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 44. And also, chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Take time to read these biblically centered articles by the Watchman. Christian Living, Wise to Do Good and Evil. Christian Living, Wise in a World Where Evil Plots and That Which Is Good Seems to Fade Away. We are, as believers, supposed to be wise concerning good and evil. Being wise is a simple biblical way, helps us to move forward in a manner acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Lights of Mercy in a Darkened Age. The lights of mercy are revealed through the Son of God and His redemptive power. Then through those He has redeemed, as they become the lights of hope and the message of redemption to all they come in contact with. In the last days of hedonism, evil, terrorism, and peril, the lights of mercy are to be bright, so that those who are to come will come to the Lord for redemption. To read those articles and listen to all the shows, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can also find our Spreaker embed and links to other places to listen to, like Blog Talk, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. And you can listen to all the shows or watch them on the warn-usa.com blog and also from Spreaker on the Spreaker app. And you can also follow Warn Radio on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. And before I welcome in the Watchman, we have this.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Our Battle Lines in-depth study of the Scripture with the Watchman Dana G. Smith. For over 21 years, the Watchman has been teaching, preaching, and warning the generations. And tonight our study continues with Jerusalem, Unfaithful City, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 2, on Battle Lines. Jerusalem's Unfaithful City, we find Isaiah declaring judgment on the city of God, one that was the apple of the Lord's eye, now has become dross. The faithful city, in short, has become a harlot and wandered away from the Lord. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's good to be here. I'm excited for this study tonight, too.
Yes, I really like Isaiah. I like all the prophets.
Oh, I do too. He's one of my favorites.
But Yes, and it's going to be a while. This is going to be a long book to get through.
Yes, it will.
So at any rate, here we are. Good grief. We are in May.
Oh, I know. It's going by fast.
You know, it seems like I was just in January.
I'm glad we're not back there.
Oh, me too. But, you know, it's just time. There's so much going on in the world and in America, you know, and people today, you know, if you're talking about politics or religion in public, of the two, politics is vile today. Many people are just vile and hateful and wicked. You know, they despise each other. They don't give each other respect. And that's a symptom of the end of days. And that's where we're at. So,
yes, it is.
You know, we're called to live by faith.
I was thinking earlier today about all the wicked stuff going on. And I thought about if we could turn back time and go back a little while where it wasn't so wicked and hateful. And I thought, no, we can't do that because that'd just make it that much longer before the Lord comes. So we are anxiously awaiting for the Lord's return amidst this evil. And we live by faith.
Well, you know, and it is evil today. There's a lot of evil things going on. And people are prideful and they all this thing, especially when we've seen Barr get up there and testify, the people, the Democrats, and we knew they would be, you know, they just absolutely despise him, called him a liar and every other thing. And then, of course, some of the Republicans retorted back. I mean, you know, that no civility at all in Congress.
No.
And, you know, just
hatred. And
they're just
mad because he wouldn't give in to what, if he would have said what they wanted to hear, then he would have been lying. And that would have been a crime. But according to Pelosi, he was lying, which I don't believe.
Well, they were all saying he was lying. But the bottom line of it is they didn't want to take the truth of what was going on. And they never did. And that's the bottom line. You know, I mean, I talk to people, you know, I was talking to a particular person today and politics came up and I didn't talk much about it. I just said, I try to ignore what's happening in Washington. I do stay informed, but, you know, I don't let it rule who I am. Just because Pelosi and the Democrats are nuts, as far as I'm concerned, that isn't going to, you know, do anything on how I look at life and what I'm going to do. And, you know, that's the bottom line. You know, we can't control the world, but we know the God who is in charge. And as long as we know him and follow him, we're going to be fine. And we're not to be looking at the Democrats. We're not to be looking at Trump. We're not to be looking at America. We're to be looking at the Lord. And only he is going to get us through this. And so,
that's right.
You have to keep that vision of faith. You have to keep that tunnel vision on the Lord. And you cannot allow this vileness, this despicable hatred, and then there's other things too that's going on as far as morality and just down to earth filth going on in this country. And the thing that absolutely amazes me is that I don't see any major churches getting in the news today declaring how
how bad it is in America and condemning it and telling people to repent. Don't even see that at all. And even the people that are writing books in the Christian realm, most of them are easy peasy, get along, sell books and don't convict anybody, you know. We continue to put sugar and ice cream and, you know, frosting on everything that we're writing.
And little candy sprinkles.
Yeah, and I can tell you, you ain't going to find that with Warren Radio. In over 21 years, we tell it like it is. And even back in the 70s when I was in Bible school and we were on the streets and we were preaching, there was fire. And when I was a youth pastor and Tower was there with me then, and so were the kids, I was preaching fire. And they didn't even like it then. And the bottom line of it is that we need to know the truth. And if America doesn't want to receive it, that's their problem. And the bottom line of it is that we're called to be faithful. We're called to preach the truth. And Warren Radio will preach the truth and will preach the word of God. And of course, there are other people that of course, don't agree, but it doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. I get in the Word of God. I balance it out. And, you know, over the years, we've had countless downloads. Countless.
That's right.
I mean, seven figure. So but the bottom line of it is that the whole thing of it is today is that we are in that time point where it's very prophetically described as the end of days, the last of the last days. It's a time period of intense evil, of wickedness, of pride, of deceit, and the rise of lawlessness and everything else. And that's where we're at.
Yes.
So let's see. Other than that, we had our prophecy news and advocacy show last night. And if you haven't heard it, of course, all those over on our other networks from iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and into Blueberry and all of that connection we have there, we have it going out in a lot of places. They know about that. On all of our social feeds, they know about these things. But the bottom line of it is that for many of those on Blog Talk, we haven't been back here in a long time. I was here 10 years broadcasting from the beginning, and then we left because we took a different route as what we were doing. And now we're back to add on the network that you know, we have here, and that's important.
Yes, you know. Is.
And so I think that's important. So at any rate, I don't know. I think about all the stuff going on, and it just, you know, it just
boggles one's mind.
Well, you know, it does. There's just it just really does. It just, like, sometimes, you know, I just have a hard time understanding, you know.
Yeah.
That we're really here, you know. I mean, it's like under the wow factor, you know. I mean, look at how long you and I have been together, and you know, that went by fast.
It did.
And so it just amazes me that we have been doing this for over 21 years. And
yeah.
Yeah. it just, time goes by fast, and people need to understand that, you know, time goes by fast, folks, and you need to take, you know, you have family and all these other things. You don't have time to absorb all this evil and wickedness. You need to just get in a good, faithful group of people who know the Lord and stay there. If that's in a regular church, that's fine. But remember, the ecclesia, the called out ones, are not bricks and stones or man-made denominations. They are humans filled with the Spirit of God and born again. That is who the ecclesia is. It is us. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, not bricks and stones. We have been called out of the world, not called into the world. In the world you will face tribulation, but be of good comfort. I have overcome the world, the Lord said. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, that's of the world, folks. We're to seek the Lord. We're to follow him, and he'll take care of us. And so at any rate, if you haven't caught our advocacy program for the persecuted church, do that. And if you don't like hearing about your brethren in Christ being persecuted, there's also miracles on there. But if you don't enjoy listening to that and wanting to get in somehow to help them, then I really doubt your commitment to the Lord. And you can take that any way you want to, but the bottom line of it is that we are commanded to love our brethren, and we are commanded, you know, to pray for those who are in bondage as if we are there, you know, be concerned for those who are being persecuted, you know, and we can't just ignore them. We must do something to help them. And so,
that's right.
We want to encourage
you. Ignoring them.
No, it's not. And so at any rate, tomorrow we will have another one. Let's see, tomorrow's Friday. And we are doing the last part of, I think, Pentecost for tomorrow's show. Because Pentecost is coming up.
Yeah,
you know, it's just amazing. You know, I mean, here we are back again in the summer, thank God, because up here where we're at, it can get a pretty tough winter, and then when all you have is all this hatred that's going on, it just grieves the soul to live in here, just like when Lot was around, you know, it just vexed his soul. It troubled his soul that he lived in such a place. And this is the way it is. And God expects us. This is the faith and patience of the saints. We're to stand up. We're to, having done all to stand, we're to stand therefore. And that's what we need to do. So, by the way, check out our website at warren-usa.com and our other website, danaglennsmith.com. And, of course, we have a few other things that a few other little things we're going to tell you about here, too. One other thing I've got to do, we're going to have to get going on this study here.
Okay.
But is there anything else you want to do before?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good enough. Well, we'll see
I'll
you on the
see
other
you on
side.
The other side.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at any rate, folks, we are going to be with our study in just a moment.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay. We are doing Isaiah's prophetic book. Isaiah's name, meaning Yahweh saves, or Jehovah is salvation. We left off at verse 21 in Isaiah. That's of chapter 1. the faithful city of God. This is grievous. And it says, how is the faithful? That word faithful, trust, believe, moral truth, you know. They were the ones that should have known the Lord. That's where his prophets were. That's where his priests were. That's where the temple was. That's where was supposed to be the people of God. And they were supposed to lead the example. So it says, how has the faithful city become a harlot? Spiritual harlotry, falling away from the Lord. Israel got into a lot of various things that drew them away from the Lord. And of course, by the time Jeremiah was preaching as well, they had gotten into all kinds of idolatry. And eventually, of course, they went into captivity. But, you know, it's the same when we look at, you know, some of the first people that came to America, the Puritans. You know, they had been persecuted overseas in Europe. You know, they were in trouble with the UK. And it wasn't too hard back then, because if the church at all found out you were doing something they didn't like, especially if you were a preacher or a teacher, you were in trouble. And so how has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. I mean, we could look at America and see how far we've fallen. And then, of course, there's always those that says, oh, no, you were never perfect. Well, I got news for you. We may not have ever been perfect, but there was a time when we knew what judgment was and righteousness was. There was a time when you could shake a person's hand and look them in the eye, and that was a good contract. I remember our banker. He lived a couple of doors down from us. I played with his kids. And when I got a little older, I would go in there and I could just borrow money on my name. Just go in and sign a little note. And I could get whatever I wanted. And it was a different time. We went to church. You know, we were raised in church. That's what it was. And some of the things in America that we're doing today would be such an abomination, people would be shocked. And today it is so wicked in America that people don't even recognize it. And they're teaching our children to do this. And of course, Tower and I were talking, I think it was yesterday, and she was reading me some of the articles about what they were doing in some of the schools now. And we try to keep track of that because we do not like seeing what's happening to the children. We try to warn people to know what your kids are being taught. Filth. We've had some of the greatest revivals any country has ever seen right here in America. But today, you know, as we look at how is the faithful city become a harlot, we can say, how is America, who once knew the Lord, who had righteousness, who knew what judgment is, who also knew what perversion was? And they wouldn't do it, but today they do it, and it's fine. Goes on to say, Isaiah, thy silver has become dross and thy wine mixed with water. Well, if you ever use wine, and I'm not a drinking man of any alcohol at all, but I've cooked with it. And I do remember a time that I did drink many, many years ago, a lot of years ago. But, you know, unless it was like a hard liquor, like scotch, you can put a little water in it nice and it's okay. But if you take a good wine and pour water in it, my friends, it is pukey. Now, see, I've been a chef, a restaurant owner, an executive chef, a food and beverage manager, and a general manager in my past life. And I cooked with a lot of wine. And there's a lot of good wine that makes great ingredients in food. But if you dilute that wine down, it is just pukey. And if you take silver, and if you don't refine it to get out all the impurities, it is no good. Nobody wants gold that is full of dross and other materials that aren't worth anything. They want pure gold. Well, we can't have pure gold, but we can have 99.9% gold. Silver, too. We can't get 100%. In heaven, they can. And there, it's clear as glass. So I attribute that to the fact that that other 0.1% that would make it 100% is the difference between gold being pure as glass and gold like we have. Nevertheless, see, the point is this. If you have silver that's dross and wine mixed with water, it's no good. And if you've got a people of God that are not faithful, they do not trust, they do not believe, they're not moral, they're immoral, they don't walk in truth, they're liars, and they follow other gods, they have become harlots. They do not belong to the Lord God. And you can look at America today and you can see America. America is not America, folks. And the churches today are not the churches that they used to be. And neither are the shepherds, and neither are some of those in there that call themselves shepherds. But the judgment's coming. God will take care of them. Isaiah goes on to describe, thy princes are rebellious. That's the royal family. And of course, the rule here is, and we can see it well infused in Scripture, corruption begins with the rulers. And I've said this before, when I was in Bible school talking to our many PhDs there, they used to warn me that heresy in the church comes from the highest educational institutions in the land of America. That's where it begins. And then it filters down, and then they send out their newly graduated pastors, and they go in and teach this filth and rebellion to the churches, and the people begin to believe it. See, that's why God gave you the word of God, so you'd know the difference. But see, Isaiah is saying, your own leaders are corrupt. The ones that should know better. And he says, they're companions of thieves. In other words, bribery. Unjust judgment and justice. It's who you know. It's how much you can pay. What are you worth? Who's donated to your election campaign? Oh, and we could go on for hours talking about that. Because Isaiah says everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. That's what it was about. That's what it's about today. Nothing's changed. They judge not the fatherless. They don't care about the fatherless or the widow or those poor or people that even come in there with a legitimate cause. And they come before the court system, and maybe they're innocent, but because they don't have money and someone does and they want them put away, well, they get put away. It's kind of like when you talk about Pakistan. And there again, we track the Christians in Pakistan, and many of the Christians, of course, in Pakistan, they don't have a lot of money. And if they need medical of any kind or dental, anything that requires money and they don't have it, they got to go to a money lender. Many times the money lenders charge such high interest they can't afford to pay it back. And in the end, they end up selling themselves in order to pay off the debt. And because it's rigged, they never get out of debt because they continue to live in a place where they're like a slave and they work in the brick kiln. This is true. And we have reported on stories of families that have been kept in bondage this way as virtual slaves for years. And there are ministries that try to buy them out of there. But we've reported on some of them that worked there that got murdered. Many of them are uneducated. And the imam gets the crowd all riled up, and they go find a Christian, beat the living daylights out of them. And they, in this case, there was a young couple who were accused of blasphemy. They didn't do anything. But yet, they had kids, and so they beat them both up and threw them alive in the brick kiln and burned them to death. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the young boy who was there in the brick kiln, and others were there. And they asked him if he was a Christian, and he said yes, so they threw him in the brick kiln, and he was burned alive. These are true stories. So when we start talking about bribery, when we start talking about princes being rebellious and companions of thieves, we have a lot of examples. Now, America isn't the worst, that's for sure. But we're not where we used to be. And the faithful is now a harlot. Are there any faithful left? Well, we need to look around. How many stand up and oppose what we see here? Not many. And Isaiah's telling Israel, you should know better. Your roots go back to Sinai. You were delivered out of Egypt by the hand of God using his prophet Moses. And yet here you are. God gave us the land. And what have you done with it? You've become greedy and unjust. You're like wine mixed with water. You're no good. And if you were gold, it's become dross, full of sin. And the only thing that's going to save you is to be refined to get the dross out of you. And that means persecution. And that's why God sent both houses of Israel into judgment to refine them. And through the refining process and the smeltering, the sin is removed. And that's what God will do to America and any nation. He's going to refine the church, and he's going to judge the wicked. And underlying it is mercy. But see, these people were at the point that they didn't care about the fatherless, the widows, the orphans, or even judging right in a court of law. Nothing. Of course, in the times of the judges, they had the same problem. And that's why God had to send a few special judges along the way in order to help Israel out. In Isaiah 1:24, sums these three verses up, talking about how the faithful have become of harlot, the silvers become dross, the princes are rebellious, they follow after rewards. So in verse 24, it says, therefore, and therefore, you have to see what it is there for. Therefore refers to the other three verses, because of this, because of your wickedness, because of how you have become. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. And when he says, that means indeed, judgment's coming. The underlying thing is, you have become my enemy. And I will always be avenged of my enemies. And the next verse he says, and I'll turn my hand upon you and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. Now, we don't really pay much attention to the process of smelting anymore. Actually, a purifying of metals in the fire, and that it also takes a little bit of another lye, for instance, to be put in it to separate it out. But he says, I will remove all the dross which has accumulated and make the silver pure. And that's the only way you can have it. If you're going to have gold, it's got to be pure. And that's why if you go down by a little bar of gold down here at the store, you know, at wherever you can get it from, we have a few places here, it'll tell you the purity of it. And of course, it'll be shiny, it'll be heavy, and it'll be pretty looking. You don't want it full of dross. And in the same way, God cannot allow Christians with sins gathering in their lives. It's not going to work. God is going to judge all wickedness, every human being. And we can call ourselves Christians, but if we have one foot in Christ, so to speak, and the other foot in fornication and immorality and following the devil, guess who's going to lose? You are. We are to come out. We are to be separate. And see, Israel needed to know that too. Now, see, in the process of all this, they were still trying to keep the law and do everything else. But as in the time when the Lord finally showed up, they thought they were keeping the law, but there's a lot of things they missed. But see, Christ came to fulfill that law, that through the mercy of God in Christ, we can be redeemed and also forgiven. So we're looking at a different thing today. We can sin, we can come to the Lord, and you can, you know, if you go to 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You go a little further, and he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's because of the new covenant. That's what Christ did. But in the time of Isaiah, that was it, man. That was the law. If you messed up, that was it. Boom. So the judgment wasn't just a simple, well, God forgive me and you're forgiven. It was like you're going into captivity. And you're going to learn. I'm going to take all of that dross in the tin, the stuff that shouldn't be there, away. Now, how does he do that? The tin and the dross is the sin, and it's also the sinners. In other words, the sinners of Israel were going to die. And the ones that truly were repentant and followed him and turned from their ways, he would forgive. He would restore them. So if America was back in the time of Isaiah, we would be in trouble. Well, you're still in trouble, but I pray, and there is this little prayer, it says, in the midst of judgment, have mercy. God, have mercy. In the midst of your judgment that's coming, have mercy. And so we pray that mercy on America and on the churches and on the people, that they will repent and come to the Lord. It's part of our duty to do. But yet there's many parts of America, they have no intention of coming back. And we are living in a time prophesied that these kind of things will happen. So in Isaiah 1:26, he says, and I'll restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as the beginning, and afterward you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now you see, this is the restoration. This is the purpose behind what he is. That's why he sent Isaiah. He wants them to repent. And all of these who look at Isaiah and say it's just about judgment, they're ignorant. It's not about judgment. In fact, judgment is always about restoration. Adam fell. There was curses that was put on him. That's the judgment. But right at the beginning, there is one of the prophecies that's telling the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, declaring that one day out of a woman would come the Messiah who would crush the serpent's head. And today, no matter how wicked it is, no matter how determined evil is, no matter how bad it looks, the devil's head is going to be crushed. Evil will be put down. The nations will be purged. The world will be consumed in fire, and God will restore the heavens and the earth, and he will bring his kingdom down. That's restoration, folks. And when you see Isaiah, it is not about judgment. It is about the process of bringing people from sin and iniquity and rebellion back into his arms. Because many times, and this is true, when we follow Israel, if they had a good ruler that followed the Lord God, the people would follow. And then if we had another one that didn't follow the Lord, they wouldn't follow the Lord. I mean, it depended on the ruler. You can look in countries. That's the way it works. Many times, and we can say this for sure in America, you want to know what your problems are? You want to know how this place got so screwed up? You look at some of the people who've led this country in the last 20 years. You want to know why immigration is so messed up? Look at all of the leaders we've had in the last 20 years. Not one of them really dealt with the issue. Not one. So now it's come to a head. See? That's the way it is. Now, of course, the thing that's mentioned in the midst of all this, and see, if you were a Jew, when you mention Zion, that is really where it's at. Zion, in this context, refers to the whole of the Jewish people or the Hebrew people. And here, specifically of Judah and Jerusalem, because by the time that judgment got to the southern tribes of Judah, the northern tribe was already carried away captive. It was already what we call it today, the lost tribes, because they were assimilated into the population. They were consumed. And it says, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts. Now, that's those that return from captivity with righteousness. Now, of course, this took 70 years, thereabouts, more than 70, before it fully got accomplished. But they did. They were in captivity 70, and then it was time for God to deliver them. And that's why Daniel came along. I mean, he was there all along in Babylon, but he recognized it. We read that in Daniel, that from Jeremiah's book, that the 70 years was fulfilled. So this is a long time. When you look at from Isaiah's warning, and then you look at Jeremiah, you count 70 years. I mean, even today, the children of Israel are still paying for this. They're still not completely in the land. They're still surrounded by all their enemies. Israel today is a microcosm of America. There's a lot of sin and iniquity in Israel, as there is in all the nations. There's going to be. But one day, and this is the promise in Isaiah 27, and 26, Isaiah 26 and 27, that's the promise. You heard in the first four verses the judgment. I mean, actually all the way from Isaiah 1 through 24, you've been listening to what's been going on. And the promise is 24 through 26 and 27. the truth is that God, and that's in verse 124, that he avenges himself of his adversaries and enemies. And sin cannot exist with the Lord God. No matter how much you want to believe it does, it won't. So you better pay attention to the Word of God, and you better pay attention close. And those of you who don't think the law is still in effect today, you better pay some attention, because the law has been fulfilled, not destroyed. Even Paul said the law is for the sinners. All of the apostles warned of sin and iniquity and fornication, folks. God does not expect his people to be full of darkness and full of every kind of lust and fornication you can find. That's not the way it is. Now, see, that may be the way it is in America. You may be able to find a church in America that says it's all right. You may find a pastor that says it's all right to do certain things. Well, and you can certainly find a website somewhere that won't like what you're talking about. They won't like the fact that you talk about sin and iniquity. And then if you start getting specific, they get really riled. And then if you keep it up, they'll get rid of you. That's the way it works. Because we don't want to hear the truth. Kind of like Pelosi and the Democrats when Mueller gave his report saying there wasn't anything to really convict Trump on. He didn't do anything. They didn't want to believe it. I mean, it's really a poor example when you think about it, because, you know, that's politics. Politics is always dirty. But see, folks, God wants you to follow him in righteousness and in the light because you love him. Not because you're forced to, because you love him and you want to do what's pleasing in his sight. And so we're looking at the redemption, the forgiveness, the restoration of a people in Israel that had fallen away. They had everything ahead of them. The blessing of the Lord. They were the children of God. They were living in Jerusalem, known as Zion. It was to be the spot for the presence of God. But instead, it wasn't. So in verse 28 of chapter 1, he says, "And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed." The transgressors here are known as revolters. When we take the Hebrew, this is the dross, folks. The gold is that perfect Israel, without any sin, redeemed, without any spot or wrinkle. And in the New Testament, Paul calls it spiritual Israel. There will be no Jew, Gentile, male or female, but all one in Christ. We're going to be one. It doesn't mean you're not going to have identity. God's going to know exactly everybody. But we're going to be in him. But you see, the dross, the sin, the iniquity, the sinners, those who won't listen, the revolters will be consumed. As Job says in 7:9, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemy of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away." Well, if you've ever barbecued and you put a slab of lamb ribs on there, especially with some of the extra fat, it ain't going to take long before you got a big fire. And in some cases, those ribs are going to become black. You can do the same thing with beef. You see, when we talk about the fat of lambs and a sacrifice, you're not going to stand before the Lord God in wickedness. For they shall be ashamed. This is verse 29, of the oaks which you have desired, and shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. Now, Israel had a lot of idolatrous worship of idols and images. It was easy in those times. They also worshiped the Queen of Heaven. And they would take some of the same offerings that they gave Yahweh, and they'd offer them to these other gods, drink offerings, meat offerings. That was the affront to God. And see, of course, you'd go into the various trees and the whole areas where they were, and you could take a tree and you could carve out something. You could get a little bit of gold or silver and you could melt it down and put it in a sheet and then pound it around these things and make a god. The Ashtoreth, Baal, that's what they did. It's no different today, except we don't do that in America. We do other things. We worship other things. But if we look in the city of Rome, for instance, Barnes talks about this in this context on Isaiah. He said in the city of Rome, there were 32 groves consecrated to the gods. And those were commonly selected, which were on hills or high places, and they were usually furnished with temples, altars, and all the implements of idolatrous worship. Many times this includes sexual immorality. And then if you go back to the Druids and the Celtic nations in Gaul, Britain, and Germany, they used groves of oak. So that's where you get the name Druid. It's derived from another word meaning an oak. Isaiah says in verse 30 of that, "For you shall be as oak whose leaf fadeth, as a garden that has no water." In other words, you're drying up. You're going to die. "The strong shall be as tow, the maker of it as a spark." "And they shall both burn together." Now, tow is like the refuge of flax. It burns and destroyed. We can say like straw. "And the maker of it as a spark, as a fire ignites refuge, so would their works, crimes, and hypocrisy would be the cause of their judgment." So no matter how many you find that are strong, that are rebellious, they're going to burn as straw is burnt, and they're going to be destroyed. And the one who is the instigator, the maker of it, as the fire ignites refuge, so everything that they have done, well, on that day we know all the works. The Lord says in Revelation 22, "He that is wicked, let him be wicked still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still." Further on, he says, "For I come quickly, and I'll judge every man according as his work shall be." Revelation 1, he calls himself the Almighty. So we see the Lord as the Almighty, who's going to be the judge on that day. Who says, if you're going to be wicked, be wicked. If you're going to be righteous. But know this, you're going to stand before me and I'm going to give you your reward. And the reward of the wicked is not going to be very nice. It's the same here in Isaiah 131. It's going to be burnt. All the works on that day will be burnt. And then the soul whose works are burnt will be cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. One day it's all going to be behind us. Thank God. That's why we need to focus on the Lord. We need to focus. Because in all of this, there's 31 verses in chapter 1 of Isaiah. And although this is a message that Isaiah gave Israel, this is a message that applies to every nation on the face of this earth. Every one of them. Because this God will judge them like he judged Israel. That is an absolute. And you could say that only a fool would ignore that. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when you deny the judgment thereof, like we've been talking about, you're denying the God of that judgment and the God who offers mercy in order to redeem man whom he loves. Because he has no choice, because you cannot exist in the presence of God in your present state. Only through Christ. That's what the world hates. They don't like that. Never have, never will. And that's why you have countries like China. Their major religion even though they quote Confucius and have a lot of other humanistic sayings, they operate on atheism. That's the communist line. But in reality, it's one of the biggest Christian nations on earth, and the communists and the atheists can't stop it. And you know why that is? Because when the maker makes something and he creates man, he is the creator and man is the created. And when the created looks up to his creator and shakes his fists and curses him, that's foolish. See, Psalm 2 is a perfect example of this. Why do the nations rage? And the people, you know, they're doing the same thing, you know. They're raging. They're in turmoil. They want to cast off the bonds of God, his laws. They want to do what they want to do. And that's where the devil comes in when he says, you know, don't pay any attention to God. He, you know, even though the Bible says there's male, female, you can do what you want to now. You can be God. You can create your own man. You can create your own woman. You can create anything you want. You can be gods. That's how he got Eve. And so somewhere along the line, these nations, their ability to be independent of the judgment of God is going to come to an end. Their wickedness will end. And they will face God for everything they've done. But see, it doesn't have to be that way. But that's what man chooses. Even the Lord says that in John 3:16. You go down a few verses from that, and he says, men love darkness rather than light. They're not going to come because they love that darkness more than light. God provided it for all men that they could be saved and come to him, but they're not going to. That's how sad it is. But if you are redeemed, if you have repented, and you know, John 1, whoever receives him, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. Who are not born by the will of flesh or the will of man, but by the power of God. John 3 says we must be born again of the Spirit. 1 John 1 says we need to walk in the light as he is in the light, in the fellowship. We'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 3 through 7 or so tells us that we need to confess our sins, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, there is a way, and there was a way for Israel, and there still is. In Isaiah chapter 2, now see, when we look at this, we have a little change here. We're not talking about judgment. We're not talking about, the solution. We simply hear or read the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. The word, and that is a matter, that which was told him, a vision, a message, a revelation. And it refers to the same thing that you find in Isaiah 1:1. The Lord gave him a word, a vision, a message concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And he's just reconfirming it now. See, within this context, that fulfills the law, because every word is supposed to be established by two or three witnesses. In Isaiah, gives you two sentences in here to confirm the fact that God told him. And not only two sentences, but Isaiah speaking out about it is the third witness. So there are things that when God sends you a message, you know, many times in the church we get these personal prophecies and things that people give. But see, in the Old Testament, when a prophet got something, the anointing was a lot greater. There were open visions, angelic messengers that stand in front of you. So right away, he jumps into, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and then all nations shall flow into it. Now, this is really interesting. He's talking to Israel. He begins it pretty much by talking to Israel in Judah and Jerusalem about how they've fallen away from the Lord, and that God was going to judge them. And he was going to take away all that sin through the smelter, through persecution. He was going to redeem them, bring them back. Now Isaiah projects us into some future time. And it shall come to pass in the last days, denoting some future time. The last or end, the future, posterity. There is coming a time at some length in the future for posterity, for that remnant, for those who are here. There is, that is coming. It will come to pass. Sometime in the future, God is going to place his house on the top of the mountains. And it'll be exalted above everything, and all nations will flow into it. Now, we look at this, I say we and many others who look at this during the millennium as being the time that this shall be when the greater Son of David will be there, Yahshua, Jesus. Because he has fulfilled prophecies, and he'll rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and those who are his will rule with him. But it's going to be fulfilled in another future time after that 1,000-year reign, and we have a new heavens and a new earth, and a new Jerusalem comes down. That is the Lord's house, and that will come in the new heavens and a new earth. And usually when you get into the prophets, pretty much whoever you read, we always get into the subject of the Messiah. And of course, when you're dealing with the troubles that happen in life, even during Israel's day, all the enemies there are, you know, everything, you think of the time of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord. Do you ever think about the coming of the Lord? I do. Because while I've got a duty and a message here, I look for the coming of the Lord. Now, one day we all put off this body of death, our human body. And through Christ, our spirit is redeemed. And as Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we'll be with him in heaven. But that, the thing we wait for is when his house of righteousness and judgment dwells with men. Because it's that time that the iniquity, the sin, the rebellion ends. And of course, when the Lord came, there was many looking for the consolation of Israel. In Isaiah 2:3, and I love these. And this is where we really get into some mighty expressions of things to come. When we can allow the Spirit of God to fill us with hope and vision. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now see, Judah has been pretty much in the land since the judgment. Then they return from Babylon. The northern tribes, they've been kind of lost. Now, they are being found, and they're around. But the fact of Jerusalem being held up is something that everybody looks at, especially if you're a Christian or a Jew. But Jerusalem is seen as that place of holiness. But Jerusalem in Scripture is known as Sodom and Egypt. Jerusalem has been captured many times. There's a lot of blood there. It's going to need to be purged. The world will need to be purged. Because God warned against blood guilt and the blood and what it does to the land. But see, when he is able to get this temple there, and it will be, there will be this time period within the millennium when the devil's going to be locked up and there'll be judgment and justice flowing out. Zechariah, the last chapter, talks about the people having to go up to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles, which is a festival. It represents when the Lord lives in his tabernacle, which is, you know, the temple, when he comes back. He will judge among the nations. He shall rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now, this is actually a fulfillment of another verse, which talks about the opposite, that they beat their plowshares into swords and they beat their pruning hooks into spears. This is the opposite. This is the fulfillment, because there's coming a time when the nations are going to be called to war. They're going to be beating all their implements of peace in order to make them into swords. Well, we can see one thing that happened during World War II when Japan attacked us. If we didn't have the manufacturing infrastructure, we could have never gotten all the tanks and everything we needed to fight both Germany and Japan. And so within this, when he comes, this verse tells you that there is going to be peace. There's not going to be war. They're not going to learn war anymore. And you notice it says learn war. And they're not going to lift up sword again. That's an amazing thing, especially when you think of all the Muslims who think they have to conquer the world by the sword in order to get everybody to serve their God. Now, see, our God, it's not conquering by the sword of man. It's conquered by the sword of the Lord, the word of God. And the word of God is Yahshua, Jesus Christ. He is the word incarnate. He was in the beginning as the word. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And there was not anything made that was not made by him. He further went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to those who believe on his name, who are not born by the will of man, but by the Spirit of God. This is the difference. This is a time of peace. This is a time when, this is actually a time when many of the Jews who know their scriptures believe that this is actually going to happen. And there is going to be a time they will recognize the Messiah. They will repent. And they will know who he is and they will repent. And there's many Messianic believers now. And there's many Muslims coming to the Lord as well. We report on it every week of the miraculous and the conversion. Verse 5, it says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Of course, that matches up, you know, with the Lord saying, I am the light of the world. Matches up with 1 John 1. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Therefore, thou, meaning the Lord, hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, that's Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem, because they replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. Now see, they got idols from other places. They served and did what other countries did, and they were warned against this. They would get help from their other enemies rather than from the Lord God. they did things that they weren't supposed to do. Now, see, the Bible warns against leaning on the arm of the flesh. Matter of fact, there's a curse associated with it. If leaning on the arm of the flesh causes someone to depart from the Lord, that's a curse. And so although we live, for instance, in America, we're not to lean on the arm of the flesh more than we lean on God. God is our number one source here. It's just like the church is in the world. And we're in the world to testify. But see, the world now is in the church. Now, you can take the church out of the world, but you can't take the world out of the church today. Any way you look at it, this verse 6 just says, who is your Lord? Who's your God? Who do you look to? Well, we serve the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, what are you doing with the idols? Well, you know, you look at a Christian church today. Why are you doing that? That's against the law. It's against what the apostles taught. Why are you doing it? Well, everybody's doing it. You know, that's what they teach. It's okay. And I could get real specific here. But you should know, without me having to tell you, some of the examples that we're doing in this country. Matter of fact, way back in the 70s and the 80s, we were doing some of these things, just not as much. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12, and this is the kicker. This is where God has given him what to do. He says, when you are come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. That's those nations that he removed. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter pass through fire. And that's exactly what Israel ended up doing. Or uses divination or an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. That's why the other guys got driven out. Israel was not to do this. Yet they did it anyway. So in America, we're not a theocracy, but we've got Christian churches. Now, see, there was an article here about 2 weeks ago, a month ago. I think CBN ran it. Is about those who were Christian witches. Yeah. That's about like the other guy that I talked to who saw one of my videos, one of our videos on YouTube about Halloween. And he was beside himself, so he wrote us and let us know about it. And I wrote him back. We corresponded several times, then I never heard from him again. But what it all turned out to be is that he believed in Satan and he followed him. But he also believed in Jesus, so he follows him too. So I told him, you can't do that. It's not the way it works. But see, there's a lot of people in America that believe just that. Well, you know, if you're not going to listen, and I can tell you what to listen to. You get in and you look at what the apostles warn. You get into the law and find out what the law says. Because the law will tell you the bottom line of what God is going to do. He is not going to go against his law. Now, you can be forgiven for those things through Christ, but you cannot practice those on and on and on and on. So there's the problem, you see. You must walk in the light as he is in the light. And so when we look at it in this context, we see that within all of this, that Israel is not so far away from where we were or where we are today. It is really pretty much about the same thing. Israel had a way that they had to walk. We have a way that's expected of us. A way that we must walk. Go figure. That's just the way it is. And you thought all the time that we could do whatever we wanted to. Well, that's what many of the Gentiles for a long time thought. But you must walk in that which the Lord says. And, you know, it really gets to be bad when you can't do what you want. But see, it isn't your kingdom until you become his son, and you're not going to enter that kingdom if you don't do what your father says. There is a certain way and a certain thing and a certain guidance that he has for you. And that's the way it is. And you, as the created, can yell and scream and holler, but you're not going to affect the God who made you. You know, the scripture tells us that those that love death hate the Lord. So when are you going to stop hating the Lord and get to the point? We all have to do that, and that is just say, God, you're right. Forgive me. Receive the Lord, walk in him, walk in his light, and be done with it. Because this world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway. The devil's on a short lease here, people. You know, you may think that he has got it all together, but he don't. Matter of fact, he knows he has lost pretty much everything he started out with. He started out in heaven with a big rebellion, and everybody said, "Go get him, Lucifer!" He wound up thrown out of heaven and on the earth. And by this time, there was a curse now. And so he thought, well, you know, I'm not in heaven with God, but I can sure tear up his people. I can help them go to hell. If I'm going to go there, I'm going to take them all with me. But see, there's a number of different, even Satan can appear as an angel of light, so he's not going to come up and say, I want you to enjoy all this so you'll go to hell. No, he will show you all the nicey things. See, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And then when you start following him, then he will call in the chip. Well, since I gave you what I promised, I'm taking what you said I could have. You're going to die tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed yourself. But see, God wants you to be delivered. He wants you as his child. And he gave his only begotten son so you could find that love and that forgiveness. And he will lift you up. He will be there with you. So while God is a God of judgment, he's a greater God of mercy. He was doing mercy long before Sinai and the covenant of Sinai. And even the law was brought forth. He was a God of mercy. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for all those that listen whenever they listen. Father, I pray that you would touch your people, be with them, deliver them, Lord, and help them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. Don't forget. To visit our websites. Oh, you there?
Yes. Yeah, I like and this study.
I love Isaiah.
I think like verse Isaiah 1:24. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. You know, that's really scary to think what's going to happen to the wicked. I'd like to see him get on board.
Well, see, today, too, it involves delivering his people from that wicked.
Yeah.
So while he eases, you know, him of his enemies, he delivers us in the process to bring alongside of him. That's the fun part.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that for his redemption, I'm glad we know the Lord.
Yes, so do I. I'm glad that we know him.
I'm thankful for his sacrifice. You know, that was the ultimate sacrifice that anyone could do, and I'm very thankful. I'm grateful to the Lord.
You know, and all those, when we cover all of those that are getting saved when we do our advocacy program, many times the Lord appears to them and he tells them that he died on the cross for their sins. He died for their sins.
Yeah.
I mean, almost invariably in these visions that these people have, you know,
it's
just
true.
You know, it just, the enemies of God become his children because they repent.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I know. Amen.
And he knows how to reach him. And he will, those that will be saved will be saved. And he'll reach those that have a heart that isn't truly full of wickedness.
That's true. And so, at any rate, we got to get out of here.
Well, join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar. And Dana will continue with the study of Birth of Ecclesia. Is that right? Part two?
Well, it is.
It's the outpouring of Pentecost, the Hebrew root, part two.
Yeah. I knew that wasn't right. The Ecclesia we did last
week. Yeah, I did too. Right.
Okay. We got to go.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Good night. We love you. We pray for you. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.